Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Talk Business with Howard, where CEOs, presidents, and business owners go for practical advice and creative solutions to help business flow. And now, here's your host, the voice of business advice, Howard Lewinter.
Hello and welcome to Talk Business with Howard. I'm Howard Lewinter, business expert and advisor to CEOs, presidents, and business owners. Are you on LinkedIn? Is your company on LinkedIn? Too often we'll join LinkedIn and other social media sites thinking that there's a silver bullet that will propel us to business success with little or no effort. Then months go by, or even years, and we don't see any return. We don't see any leads. We don't see any prospects. We see nothing. And what do? We quit. Does that sound familiar? In the age of social media, LinkedIn is quickly becoming an essential marketing tool for CEOs, presidents, and business owners and their companies. My guest today is internationally known as the LinkedIn expert. Viveka von Rosen is the author of the book, LinkedIn Marketing, An Hour a Day. Viveka is also listed on two of Forbes' most influential people's list. She's the host of the biggest LinkedIn chat on Twitter, which you're going to want to, after this conversation, check out. It's on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And also, Mashable considers her blog one of the top business blogs to read. She's the co-moderator of LinkedIn Strategies, the largest LinkedIn group. And she's here today to talk about marketing techniques, tools, strategies that can help you create more visibility and more business on LinkedIn. I mean, I've always found her advice incredibly useful, knowledgeable. So welcome to the show. How are you today?
Excellent. Thank you, Howard. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, I know that you just returned from Europe.
Yeah.
On a speaking engagement. So when we talk about you being internationally known, that's not just hype. That's actually reality. Where were you?
I was in Oslo, which is just such an incredibly beautiful city. It was an honor to be there.
How many people were in the audience when you gave your presentation?
And I think there was about 500 very stoic Norwegians in the audience.
That's really interesting that you traveled halfway around the world so people could listen to hear what you have to say. And obviously you are recognized as the expert, but tell us how you became considered the expert and someone in Oslo would want to have you come to their city, pay your expenses to get there, pay your fee, and drag you all the way across the country. How did you become the expert?
I got the name first. You know, it's as simple as that. I was fortunate enough to get the LinkedIn username LinkedIn Expert and the Twitter username LinkedIn Expert. And, yeah, I pretty much spent the past 7 years trying to prove that's true.
Well, that's interesting because I know that there are always two groups of people. There are people that know that LinkedIn exists, and there are people that are probably hearing about it for the first time. And so you've been working at it for 7 years? You woke up one morning?
Yeah.
Pardon me, how long?
6 years.
6 years? Okay.
Yeah.
6 years. Okay, we'll take the seven and subtract the one and come up with six. So you wake up one morning and you go, I've got all of this information. What inspired you to write the book?
Well, what inspired me to write the book was Wiley actually contacted me and said, would you write a book for us? So, you know, I'd written several e-books, and I was actually talking to a writing coach about writing a book and what it takes and, you know, the whole painful process of trying to get it in front of an editor and trying to get it in front of someone at a publishing house that would actually read it. And then out of the blue, I thought it was a joke. I almost didn't return the email, except I checked the URL, and it was actually from Wiley.com. But, yeah, I got an email from actually the person who didn't end up being my editor. We went a different direction, but got an email, and they asked me if I would write a book for them on LinkedIn, and I was kind of like, okay. Sure, I can do that. So, and of course I thought, oh, this will be easy because I had so much blog content, but turns out I had to write it from scratch. So it was an interesting process, definitely.
Well, you know, I've got the book in my hand right now, and I'm flipping through it, and I will tell you, it's not just a book. It's a treasure trove of information that will help people become more successful.
Well,
tell
thank
me,
you. It was interesting to write.
Tell me, LinkedIn, what impact has it had on business, and how are
you
people
know,
marketing using it? What should people know about LinkedIn?
I think the biggest failing with LinkedIn, and it's not really LinkedIn's fault, it's just how it started, is most people consider it to be, you know, just a beefy Rolodex. Or, you know, or maybe they think, oh, it's only for IT people, or it's only for job seekers. That's another big one. Or, you know, it's just an online resume. And even back when I started on LinkedIn, it was more than that. Of course, you know, in the past 7-8 years, it's evolved immensely. But I think the problem is that people don't realize just how powerful it can be and how useful it is. And one of the reasons I love LinkedIn is because it is business oriented. You know, while I don't mind wasting a little time on Facebook, and you know me, I absolutely love Twitter, I know that when I get on LinkedIn, it's going to be business focused. And so for, you know, whether you're a B2B, B2C, entrepreneur, solopreneur, or the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, there is a use for LinkedIn for you. And I think that's really one of the things that propelled me to write the book was, you know, this is so much more than just a resume online or a Rolodex on steroids. I think of business development, sales, marketing, recruiters, looking for employees, looking for joint venture partners, referral partners, clients. It's, you know, you can do all of that with LinkedIn. It's just such a beefy business tool.
And let me point out, the book is not an ego piece. It's not, look at Vivica, look how great she is. It's filled with content, page after page after page. As a matter of fact, this is a book that you're not going to get through. It's going to take you a while because what you'll want to do is you'll want to read a few pages and then put into effect what she's talking about, go back and read those pages, and then move forward. So even if you read the book through once, you're going to have to go back and use it as a manual, an educational manual that you continue to use. So recently you wrote a blog post on Talk Business with Howard entitled,
yes.
If Not Now, When? And the post is about new company pages on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Tell us about the evolution of the company page on LinkedIn and why having a company page is so important today.
You know, I'm so excited about the new company pages. Really, up until maybe 3 or 4 months ago, company pages were just a link in the menu bar. I mean, they weren't very active. They were a brochure. I told people, yeah, you need to have a company page because for no other reason than Google likes the company pages, because when you add your company page, it becomes part of the URLs and, you know, grab your name before someone else does and branding and all of that. But they weren't very functional. They just kind of sat there. And most of them sat there and looked bad, you know. So, but what's happened is, and I recently visited the LinkedIn offices, and, you know, everyone there is young. And so I think what's happened is the influence of Facebook, the influence of Twitter, apparently the influence of Katy Perry, go figure, has influenced the designers and the developers on LinkedIn because they're moving more towards the company page on LinkedIn is moving very much towards a company page on Facebook. So they just introduced these new banner photos, banner images that you can pop up. The whole look of the company page has changed. And the new banner image really makes it pop, you know. And when you go to your company page, it just looks so much more like an actual website. You know, even the tabs look more like a website tab. They just don't look like a little link here or there. It's just so much better branded. And so what's new is just this picture. But what it's done is it's reorganized the look of the page, and it's really highlighting the targeted updates. And targeted updates have been around for 5 or 6 months, but again, no one was doing anything with them because they were kind of, you know, they just kind of sat there on the page. But what targeted updates bring to the mix is the ability to speak as your company voice. And this is really important because I have worked with many, many clients who don't really want to develop their personal voice on LinkedIn. I'm not sure why, but they're like, you know, I'm here to build my company. I just want to make my personal profile my company page. And that's not a great way to use LinkedIn. So with this new LinkedIn company page, you know, the company page becomes more autonomous and it begins to speak for itself. And there's cool things like statistics, and and you can target it at specific, you know, audiences, industries, readers. So there's just so much beefiness to the new company profile that I'm really liking it. Obviously.
Beyond the company page, what should a CEO, president, or business owner consider putting together in a company marketing strategy for LinkedIn?
You know, and I know you said beyond a company page, but I'm just going to harp on this a little bit more. One of the things about the company page that you can do that you can't do easily in your personal profile is add your products with video, with special offers. So I just want to say that that is also a part or something that you can do with the company page. And so corporation CEOs, you just have to get a company page. In fact, I went to the Apple page. It's horrible. So there's an awesome opportunity, and that's why I love LinkedIn and social media in general. There's an awesome opportunity for some other computer company out there to create a presence that's equal to, if not better than, some of the big box brands out there. So now, that being said, what does a company CEO, a corporate executive, need to do? Well, even if a corporate executive doesn't want necessarily to be as accessible as, say, their marketing team or their sales team on LinkedIn, they still need to have a vibrant profile, because people are beginning to judge other folks by their LinkedIn profiles. And so just having, you know, the bare bones, I did what LinkedIn told me, you know, one job, one liner, headliner, things like that, no picture, it looks really bad. So even the CEO needs to have a good profile. Now, of course, they can have their assistant do it for them, but you have to have a good presence on LinkedIn. And certainly I would recommend to executives, corporate executives, that you make sure that your sales and marketing team have very vibrant presences on LinkedIn, because, you know, LinkedIn works just like Google. You have to, well, it doesn't, it doesn't. It, you have to have a well, you have to have a well-optimized, a keyword-optimized profile in order, you know, in order to be found. And then, so that's just like Google, except it's way easier to keyword optimize a LinkedIn profile. And here's where it's different. You also have to have a big enough audience to be visible. So if the corporate executive doesn't want to be that visible, he can still have an amazing profile and just not have too many first-level connections or second, actually, network, have a smaller network. But his sales team and his marketing have got to have a beefy, vibrant network, I'd say, of at least 10 to 15 million people in order to even be found. So when their clients and customers are looking for them on LinkedIn, and people are, that's how I get most of my business, that's how a lot of my clients get a lot of their business, you have to be findable, which means having the profile that's optimized and a vibrant network.
If you don't do it for your company, the competition is going to do it.
Absolutely.
The interesting thing about business today is it is the easiest time in recorded history to get in business. That is just a fact. On the other hand, it may be one of the hardest times to stay in business. So getting in business is one issue. Staying in business
that's
is the
really
other.
Good
and
point.
You need to use these tools. If you're not using these tools, you're going to get left behind. Now, LinkedIn can be used for networking, finding new business, recruiting new employees. Let's just take a brief look at each one. Networking,
sure.
And creating an effective network. Tell us about that.
So there are people called open networkers, and this has been abused recently, but there are still some good folks out there like myself. And when you're building your network, you want to find some folks like us, because we have these giant networks, and which means that all my first-level connections, I've got a little over 25,000, become your second-level connections. All my second-level connections, which are a little over 7 million, become your third-level connections. So when you're building your network, you need to connect to a few of us just to build, just so, you know, two or three or four of us, and you're at that 15 million, you know, mark. Now, LinkedIn tells you not to connect with people you don't know. I think you can connect to a few people you don't know just to achieve that visibility. But beyond that, you really want to also be strategic with LinkedIn. You know, with 175 million users, your network's there, be it clients, employees, partners, whatever. You know, the folks you need to be doing business with and to survive in business are out there. So you need to find them. What I love about LinkedIn, much more so than Facebook or Twitter, is it has an advanced search, and that's available for the free and the paid accounts, but it has an advanced search that really allows you to dial down and find exactly who you're looking for. And then it's just a matter of either asking for an introduction to that person or taking a deep breath and just inviting them to connect with you, whether you know them or not. In my humble opinion. But that's the way that you can begin to grow a very strategic and yet still large network of individuals who, you know, who will support your business. And a big part of that, too, is you don't go into LinkedIn saying, okay, I'm going to sell my product and my service. No, you have to go into LinkedIn with the attitude of, I am here to learn, I am here to share, I am here, yes, to promote my business, but I'm here to do good in the world. And that might sound very woo-woo and altruistic, but what I'll tell you is that none of the social media sites work if you go in there as a go-getter instead of a go-giver.
I'd also like people to consider the name of the company. It's LinkedIn. It's about linking to business people. It's not about spamming. Now, I know some of this has changed. It used to be don't leak to anybody that you don't know. But you certainly can expand your network by being polite, by giving content, by linking to people that you don't know, and it gives you the opportunity to meet those people. On the other hand, when someone wants to link to you and you've checked them out and there's some commonality, link to them. And then after you link to them, start a conversation. Now, how do people find new business on LinkedIn?
Well, it really is as easy as a keyword search. So you need to make sure that not only your company name, because, you know, I might not know to look specifically for your company name. I just know I'm looking for a business development specialist, let's say. And so, you know, that's what they're going to do. They're going to go into that simple keyword search or maybe the advanced search and look for a business development specialist. You better hope that your profile is one of the first ones that, you know, or at least shows up on the first page. So it really is as simple as getting those keywords in strategic areas. Of course, the more people who join LinkedIn, the more people who listen to radio shows like this and begin to realize, you know, there is some manipulation. I hate to use that word, but there is some manipulation in getting your profile placed. That's one of the ways that people find you. Now, the way I actually... LinkedIn blacklisted me years and years and years ago for doing something wrong. So that doesn't work for me anymore, and yet people still find me. Why? Because I'm very active in a few good groups. Groups have gotten a really, really bad rap because most of them, excuse my language, suck. But there are some, there are a few really good groups out there, and my activity within those groups you know, showcases my expertise, and people reach out to me and ask me if, you know, if I'm available to do consulting or whatever. And so I recommend definitely, again, if it's not going to be the CEO of a company, fine, but have your marketing folks, have your sales folks be involved at least in two or three groups where your client base might be hanging out, let's say. Answer questions in LinkedIn Answers. Post updates that are helpful and useful. And by the way, Google likes all that stuff too. So there's a good chance, even if you can't get found, even if I can't get found on the first page of LinkedIn under the term LinkedIn expert, I show it first on Google. So even, you know, you've got to put a little bit of time in, not even an hour a day, like my book is. It's just part of an hour a day series. I'm a big fan of 15 to 20 minutes a day, but you put your time in, and you put your time in every day, and it will absolutely pay off, and you'll get found, and you'll get the business.
And it's about being consistent. It's not about doing it one time or once a week.
That's
it's about
right.
doing it every single day. Now, one of the reasons that people use LinkedIn is they use it as a recruiting tool for new employees. Tell us briefly about that.
I love this because I can't afford to hire a recruiter. Wish I could. I can't afford, even with my business, to hire a recruiter. So I'm still doing a lot of the searching for, you know, whether it be contract labor or consulting or a full-time employee, I do a lot of that searching myself. And it's a keyword search, so you better make sure that those keywords are in there, no matter, you know, what kind of business you're in. 98% of recruiters are using LinkedIn to find employees. 85% of hiring managers or business owners are using LinkedIn to find employees. And that's across the board. That's from professional services to just the service industry to executive-level folks. So you need to make sure that if you are a job seeker, you've got those keywords in there. But what's great is I can do a search and find your profile. And then, of course, I can look through your profile and see, look at your history and see what you've done in the past. And again, if you're a job seeker, you really want to make sure you put some wins in there, get some testimonials in there. I can read other people's testimonials. I can reach out to people who have worked with you and ask about you. You know, I can see how active you are in groups. What kind of a person are you? Are you positive? Are you negative? Are you sharing useful information? I can do that all before I even reach out to you. And so as someone who, you know, who's going to hire an employee, that is really, really powerful. Because I have several friends who are recruiters, and, you know, the worst thing in the world is to get an job seeker's hopes up, and then, you know, you meet them face-to-face, and they're duds, or they're just not a good fit. Well, you can have a really good idea if this person's going to be a good fit or not before you even, you know, bring them in the door, because it is expensive to hire people who don't work out. It is time-consuming and expensive to interview people, and they don't work out, so having this ability to find and research and get a sense of a potential employee is huge, huge, both for recruiters and for just hiring managers or folks like me who are just hiring people part-time sometimes.
And it also gives you access to people you would never be aware of.
Absolutely.
An incredible amount of people that you can really sort through them and try to find the best candidate. Now, connections. Yeah. Connections are important. First, connections are important.
Yeah.
How many connections do you recommend that people have to really be effective, and how do they best manage them?
You know, I have actually changed my mind on this. Obviously, with 25,000 first-level connections, I used to be a big believer in the bigger your network, the better. What I've discovered is the more connections you have past about 5,000, the LinkedIn just fails. I mean, I can't remove connections anymore. There's a lot that I can't do on LinkedIn anymore because my network's just too big. So I recommend under 5,000 first-level connections. Now, it depends on your role. Again, for the CEO of a Fortune 500 company, you're probably only going to want to have, you know, under 500, probably under 300 connections, because you don't want to get pestered by people. And as a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, there's potential to get pestered. By the way, you can hide your connections. So if your connections all happen to be your client list, you can hide that from people if you're nervous about that. One of the reasons I recommend having a slightly larger network, 500 plus, you know, 1,000 plus, is you want your client list to kind of be buried amongst some other folks as well. Of course, the more first-level connections you have, the easier it is to find those people, to find the right employee, the right partner, the right client, because you can just send them a message. And then, of course, they bring their first level becomes your second level, so it's much easier to get introduced to folks if you have a big network. On the other hand, you know, if you Howard, ask me to introduce you to someone, I'm happy to do it. It's so funny. I'm connected to the president. Well, let me tell you, I get requests for introductions to the president every day. Do I know the president? I do not. He just happens to be in my network. So it's less effective for my network because I don't actually know the people that I'm connected to. Whether you have a network of 30 or 30,000, the more organized it is, the better chance you have of actually building relationships with the key people. LinkedIn itself doesn't have a great CRM, client or customer relationship management tool. It does have something called a profile organizer with a paid account that lets you make notes and save people in files. I recommend some second party tools. There's something called, and you can find it under the, literally there's a tools link at the very, very bottom of your LinkedIn profile. So you can click on that. And then for people who use Outlook, I'm a Mac person. I really envy you Outlook. Outlook for Mac doesn't work. But if you're an Outlook person, there's an Outlook Social Connector, which is a great way to link up your LinkedIn network and Outlook so that you can organize your LinkedIn network just as you would organize your contacts in Outlook. And you can tag them and you can make notes and you can do pop-up reminders and all the things that you do with Outlook you can do with this Outlook Social Connector, because it'll literally pull your network into your Outlook contacts. If you don't have Outlook, if you're a Mac person like me, there are other CRMs out there. ConnectedHQ is ConnectedHQ.com is a pretty decent one, and it's free. LinkedIn bought it, so it's free. There's, of course, Salesforce. There's a fantastic application. So those of you listening to this who have Salesforce, talk to the Salesforce manager in your group and find out, you know, can I get the LinkedIn application, because it's fantastic. Again, I envy you that. There are other CRMs out there, too, that you can use that will pull in your LinkedIn information. Within LinkedIn itself, for your first-level connections, you can actually tag them. So for those of you who are on Facebook, you know about lists. It's the exact same thing. You can go through your first-level connections and tag them as to, you know, potential client, existing client, past client, competition, potential JV partner, et cetera, et cetera. Up to 200 tags that you can create, and then you can just group your network into these different tags, like I said, it's like Facebook lists. So that's a great way to manage your network, and then you can send, again, targeted messages specifically to that tagged group. So if one of my ideal clients was an accountant who lived in Boston, I could literally send a message, you know, as an accountant who lives in Boston, you might be interested to know that blah, 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 and give them some helpful and useful pieces of information so that I start to become top of mind with them. And that's just one of the ways that you can use tags on LinkedIn. Tags are found in your connection. So when you go to the Contacts tab, click on Connections, there's your tabs.
Now, of course, the more you tell us, the more we want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us about recommendations and the newest way to endorse someone in the skills and expertise section of the individual profiles? And what's the difference,
sure,
and why are both of them important to business people?
Excellent. Thank you. So you might have noticed with the new user interface, LinkedIn got rid of the recommendations count, as in I have, you know, 83 recommendations. Don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. The recommendations are not gone, and recommendations are testimonials. They're when someone within your LinkedIn network takes the time to say, and by the way, Howard, if you want to see good recommendations, Howard has them. And go to Howard Lillinger's you know, you have just, you've got some of the, I always bring you up when I talk about recommendations, actually.
Well, thank you, Eva.
But it's, oh, you do. You've got the best recommendations I've seen. And you didn't ask for them. People just spontaneously wrote them for you, which is amazing, because usually you have to ask for them. But people will either spontaneously or because you ask them to write, you know, a paragraph, two paragraphs, three paragraphs about you, why you're great, why they like you, why someone should hire you, et cetera. And that's the recommendation. It's a little bit time consuming. And people are not so free to, they don't give them out freely. So most people will only have between 3 and 10 recommendations on their profile. On the other hand, there's this new thing called endorsed skills. So I like them. I know a lot of people don't. I like them, and the reason is this. Anyone can add any skill they want. I could say I was a master skydiver, if I wanted to, on my LinkedIn profile. And up until endorsed skills, you know, you wouldn't know if that was true or not. But with endorsed skills, what it means is that your first-level connections, same thing with both recommendations and endorsed skills, they have to be first-level connections, but your first-level connections go into your profile, and they're prompted by LinkedIn to do so, go into your profile and go, click, yes, she has that skill. Click, yes, he has that skill. They literally go to your skills section and say, and click on a little X, or the other option is LinkedIn will say, does this person have these skills, and you just say yes. And those skills will start to accumulate endorsements. Now, why people don't like it is because they're like, oh, this is going to be another clout game. People are going to, you know, it's going to become a game, and I have 85 endorsements and you only have 23. Yeah, that might happen, but at least if I see you've got 2 or 3 or 10 or 15 endorsements, I know you actually have that skill. And I think this is going to be very, very important because I don't know if you've noticed lately, but there are a lot of fake accounts on LinkedIn. There are a lot of scammers out there who are creating hundreds of fake accounts a day, and these fake accounts are gaining followers. But the thing is, no one's going to endorse a fake account because you don't actually know that person, and you're not going to endorse someone, hopefully, for something they don't do. So I think this is really going to weed out those fake accounts. So, again, when someone invites me to connect with them or wants to be introduced to somebody or wants to join my group or whatever, I can go look at their profile, look at their skills, see if they're endorsed, see if they're real or not, and then, you know, choose my next action. So I'm a huge, huge fan of the endorsed skills, but I know some people are not.
Divica, how many recommendations should we have? How many people should we have endorsing our skills? Is there a number that works, that, you know, there's not too few, not too many?
Yeah, you know, I've heard between 10 and 15 is a good number for recommendations. I've got way more than that, and it's, you know, I know a lot of people, especially if they don't know me, might go, oh, she's been, you know, they're fake, she's been fishing for them, they're not authentic, whatever. So you actually have to read them to see if they're real or not. So, you know, when I talk to recruiters, when I talk to other business people, they seem to be really comfortable with that 10 to 15. Of course, it depends on how many jobs you've had in the past, what schools you've gone to, what you want to be recommended for. In some cases, you know, the minimum used to be 3 on LinkedIn. They've gotten rid of that, but the minimum used to be 3. So, you know, 5, even 5 to 10 is fine. I think it's quality over quantity. In fact, I've gone through and I've hidden several of my recommendations that you know, Vivica's nice type recommendations, or from people who aren't, you know, nothing against them, but they're not weighty in my business world. So, you know, if my massage therapist says Vivica's nice, she has good skin, you know, that's not gonna be quite as high as, say, Mari Smith talking about the usefulness of my book, or, you know, being a thought leader or something like that. So I think you want somewhere between, let's make it even more broad, 5 and 15, but make sure that if you've got 5 recommendations, they're high quality recommendations, like yours are, Howard.
Well, thank you so much. All of my recommendations are actually for real. They're not made up.
Exactly.
And, you know, I've been doing this 23 years, and I take great pride and joy in what I do. Actually, it's not just work. It's a way of life, and being in business is a way of life. And I'm going to test out my sales skills here, okay, and my closing skills.
Okay.
Because I'm going to do something that I've never done before.
Oh, boy.
This is so interesting. I'm going to put you right on the spot with a 100-watt light bulb over your head.
Oh,
this
boy.
This is so interesting. Is it possible, because of time, because we don't want, if this goes too long, people just aren't going to be able to listen to it all at one time.
Right, exactly.
Is it possible we could pick this up tomorrow morning at about the same time?
Let me check my schedule. let's see, what is today? I'm on the 15th, that's why. Okay, let me check my schedule. For heaven's sake, there we go. Oh, no, not tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm actually teaching a class all day. We could pick this up on Friday if you wanted.
Okay, well, we can do part two on Friday if that's okay with you and the listeners, because I don't want to shortcut these. I want to talk about the book. I want to talk about LinkedIn signals. I want to talk about how CEOs, presidents, and business owners should use LinkedIn. I want to talk about groups. And we're just not going to be able to fit all of this in all at the same time. And
because we're at a half hour.
Yeah, well, you have such good information that I just don't want to just breeze through it and waste this opportunity. So if it's okay with you, and I thank you for that, we'll pick this up at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on Friday for part two.
That sounds great. We can do that.
Well, thank you so much, Vivica. Thank you for all this information. And again, this is the first time I've ever requested this because I just don't want to miss this opportunity. I mean, someone who travels the world and is invited to go all over the world and, you know, has 25,000 connections, I think we probably should take some time to listen to what she has to say. Vivica, thank you for today. I will be looking forward to Friday. And, of course, you can remember that, you know, you need to be educated in business. Remember that LinkedIn is a tool. It's new to some people. It's not new to other people. But just saying I'm on LinkedIn is not enough. You have got to go to this wealth of information, this book called LinkedIn Marketing, An Hour a Day. And you're not going to read it in an hour. You're going to take your time. You're going to really study it. This is not just a book. This isn't a novel. This isn't something that's going to interest the average person. But if you're a business person and you want to make money and you want to have a better life and you want to really showcase your business, this is what you want to do. And, of course, talking about showcasing, you can always connect with me on LinkedIn at Howard, LeWinter, and Facebook and Twitter. Or give me a call, 888-738-1855. But before Friday, go to my website, Talk, T-A-L-K, talkbusinesswithhoward.com. Read Vivica's blog, and we will certainly look forward to continuing this conversation because I don't know about you, but I want more information. Now, why are we in business? We're in business for a lot of reasons. We're in business to make a living, but we do a lot more than that. We create jobs. We create goods and services that helps humanity. We make people's lives better. So if we can do a better job in business, everybody benefits. And that's what LinkedIn will do. But we need the knowledge. We can't just show up and say, I'm on LinkedIn. They'll find me. Not going to happen. So, Vivica, thank you. I will catch up with you Friday at the same time, 11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, for part two. Evelyn?
Perfect. Sounds good.
My assistant, my very cooperative assistant, who does a great job, is on the other end of the line working the switchboard. So, Evelyn, hit the music.
Oh, but before I do, Howard.
Yes, Evelyn.
There's something else I think people need to do before Friday. And Vivica can help us with this. Vivica, where can they find your book to purchase it?
Oh, my goodness. How did I forget that? I was so wrapped up in the information that I was missing the obvious.
Well, if you want to spend $30, you can go to bit.ly/LinkedIn Hour a Day. But if you only want to pay $16 for the book, just go to Amazon. Literally just go to Amazon, type in LinkedIn Marketing Hour a Day, and that's the least expensive place to buy my book. Plus, you can get the Kindle version there.
And how do they connect with you on LinkedIn, and how do they find you?
Sure. So my website is called linkedintobusiness.com, LinkedIntobusiness, linkedintobusiness.com, so you can always contact me there. You can find me on Twitter. I'm at LinkedInExpert. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm linkedin.com/in/LinkedInExpert. And, yeah, just shoot me an invitation, shoot me a message. I'm pretty responsive if I'm not, you know, traveling across the country or the world, which
and,
I'm not for two for a week or two.
And, folks, let me tell you how I met Vivica. You want to guess? It was on LinkedIn.
It was on LinkedIn.
I didn't know her. Send her a message.
Was it on LinkedIn or what, is it on Twitter?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I think
well,
we
it was on social
on
media
Twitter
anyway.
And then we sent, I think we were following you on Twitter, and then we sent you a message through LinkedIn. And the message through LinkedIn is extremely important. So don't hesitate.
Yes.
Find that message. Okay, until Friday, this is Howard LeWinter signing off.
Connect with Howard anytime at talkbusinesswithhoward.com. You can also continue the conversation with Howard on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. Thank you for listening to Talk Business with Howard.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.